All right, thank you very much. And hello again, dear radio friends. How in the world are you? Yes, that little greeting establishes the fact that this is indeed your friend Dr. Cook, and I'm glad, so glad to be back with you. I look forward to these times when we can share from the Word of God. We're winding up our thought in Mark chapter 9. Our Lord Jesus said, "Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another." The peace of God that passes all understanding. Now, our duty is to live peaceably. Paul says, "As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Follow holiness, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see the Lord. And the word follow is our idea of pursuing it. Pursue it. Go after it. So then we began thinking about that matter, about peace. And we thought about Romans 5:1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The penalty is paid. The war is over. All that God is waiting for is for you to lay down arms and to come back to him." It's a sad thing that the human race is arrayed in enmity against God. Enemies in your minds, Paul says, because of wicked works. This is the condemnation, that men loved darkness rather than light, we read in John chapter 3. So what God is waiting for, and some of you need to hear this very moment, because you've never yet opened your heart and life to Jesus Christ as Lord. God is waiting for you to say, "Lord, I give up the war. I'm going to quit fighting you. I'm going to open my heart and life to you. By faith, I invite Jesus Christ to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior, to forgive my sins and to make me a child of God." God is waiting for that from you, because everything he can do has been done. So the peace of God that comes through quitting the war. Give up fighting God today, would you, my dear friend? Somebody needs to hear this. Give up fighting God. You say, "Oh, if I had another chance, I'd succeed. Oh, if I could start over, if I had a different job, if I lived in a different place, or if I'd had a different background," or whatever. All these different alibis that we give for our meanness and our mediocrity and our failures. God doesn't want all that. All he wants is you. Give up the fight. Come home to God. Then we looked at Isaiah 26:3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." The focus of attention needs to be on God, not on yourself. As long as you focus attention on yourself, you'll be miserable. Did you know that? You incubate your troubles and your ills and your bad feelings as long as you focus attention on yourself. When I was in college, and that's a good many years ago, I graduated in 1934. Can you believe it? When I'm so young. Anyhow, when I was in college at Wheaton, they brought a psychiatrist in to speak to the students. He was, I take it, not what we would call a believer. I think he may have been a God-fearing man, but I don't think he was a believer, as I recall it. In any case, he told us this story. He said that there was a newspaper lady that came to him as a patient and told him that from time to time she would just sort of blow up and have a tantrum when pressures got too great. She said, "I have to get rid of this." She said, "You have to heal me, doctor." She said, "The boss told me that one more time he's going to fire me." Well, the doctor said, he told her, "Get a different job." She says, "You don't understand. I can't get a different job. And my mother depends on me. I'm her only support. And I can't afford to lose my job. You have to help me." He said, he asked her this question. He asked her, "Do you have an attic in your house?" "Yes," she said, "we do." "Do you have any kind of a stairway that leads up to it?" "Yes," she said, "there's a stairway." He said, "Do this. Every day before you go to work, go up in the attic, kneel down on the bare floor, and pray for something besides yourself. until your tears have flowed. And you make a little ring of tears on the floor there in front of you. She said, you don't understand that. I can't change my religion. He said, I'm not asking you to change your religion. I'm just asking you to start praying for something besides yourself and your own feelings. Well, he told us that within a couple of weeks, that patient came back to see him. Now she was radiant. She was happy. She said, Doctor, I can't tell you the difference that it has made. Just to go up in the attic and before I go to work to pray for something beside myself until my tears have flowed. And not a Christian, but a dedicated professional who knew that when you put the focus of attention on something beside yourself, you get better. Now the ultimate betterment, beloved, is to put the focus of attention on God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You trust that which you think about the most. Trust is the willingness to risk a situation on something or someone. And what consumes your thoughts, what occupies your thoughts, becomes the basis of that on which you risk your destiny. You can prove that for yourself very clearly. Here's a person who thinks of nothing but money. What risks does he take? He takes the risks which he considers will enhance his financial position. See, he trusts, in other words, in that on which he is thinking, namely money. Here's a person who is, he's a wolf, frankly. A ladies' man. What risks does he take? He takes the risks that will enhance his position with the opposite sex. Because that's what he's thinking about. Here's a person who is a politician running for office. He thinks about that constantly. What does he do? His behavior, his conduct, and the risks that he takes are related directly to the possibility of holding office, winning an election and holding office. Now, isn't that all true? Yeah, you know it's true. Well, now, the focus of your attention becomes the basis of your trust. You want to put that down in the notebook of your mind? The focus of your attention becomes the basis of your trust. In other words, your willingness to risk a situation on something or somebody. The focus of your attention becomes the basis of your trust. And when he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee, he is simply stating that the more you think about God, the more you'll trust God, and the more you'll be at peace with God, with yourself, and with your environment. That's a simple truth, but profound, isn't it? One of my professors said to me years ago, he said, you know, when I first heard you, Cook, and read some of your books, I thought, he's too simplistic. But he said, I began to think about it, and he said, I realized that some of those truths are pretty profound after all. Well, listen, you don't have to be obtuse to be profound. You don't have to make things hard to understand in order to enunciate great and eternal truths. KISS is the acronym for a signal that many a wife has given to her public speaker husband. You know what that is, KISS? He would look down and she'd throw him a kiss. What did it mean? KISS. Keep it short and simple. All right. Now, this was all review, but it got a little long, and maybe it was helpful. Psalm 119, 165 said, great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Why? Because when you're operating on the basis of a higher set of principles, the lower, so to speak, the lower set of principles fades in importance. A higher set of principles. Gravity can be overcome by a greater force that lifts an object in spite of the pull of the earth's gravity. Great peace have they that love thy law. God's word is the ultimate written truth. Our Lord Jesus is the person of truth. The Holy Spirit of God bears witness to the truth. God's word, the Bible, is the ultimate written truth. And when you fall in love with the Bible, you make certain that your life will be lived on the principles contained therein, and other ideas and other principles will automatically take second place. This is particularly true in the matter of your feelings about other people and circumstances. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. What does that mean? To be offended means to be hurt, to be snubbed, to be discouraged, to be frustrated, to be hindered in what you'd like to accomplish, all of this and probably more. He says, great peace of they that love thy law. Why? Because when you're operating on the basis of God's inerrant eternal word, the Bible, you trust those promises and those commands more than you trust any other set of circumstances or any other pronouncement of principle. For instance, take care of yourself, we say, because nobody else is going to do it. That is something you hear every day in one form or in another. The Bible says that if you put God first, he will see that you are taken care of. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. My father used to give away most of his money, and the relatives would say, Charlie, you're foolish. You ought to be putting something away in a nest egg. But he used to support Dr. Fuller and so many different Christian works and all of that. And then one day, he was laid off. The job that he was at ceased along about 1929. The very day he was laid off and got his pink slip in the pay envelope, he came home and there was a telegram on the table from the veterans saying that he had been granted a pension because of his service in the Spanish-American War. I remember he showed me that telegram and he looked at me and smiled and said, see, my boy, God takes care. Yes, he does. Put God first. Things will be second. Dear Father, today may we put thee first so that thou canst take care of us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Till I meet you once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.
You've just heard Walk with the King, the ministry of Dr. Robert A. Cook. This program is listener supported. For more information or to find out how you can help to continue this ministry, write to us at Walk with the King, P.O. Box 43, Trumbull, Connecticut, 06611. Or visit us on the web at walkwiththeking.org. Thank you for your support of this ministry. This has been broadcast number 6466. Thank you for listening to Walk with the King.